Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are happy to report that Clinton has accepted Anthony Haney's apology here as we start hour three of the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Anthony, you feeling better now? Were you scared for a second?
I was sad, but now my spirits have been lifted.
Excellent. Let's get to it then. It's time for the pick six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the pick six at six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, and build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, let's get started with the six biggest storylines of the day from here in Ashburn as I'm live at the Commanders facility following mandatory minicamp day one. Storyline number one, Anthony.
Number one.
Is Terry McLaurin is not here. First question came from Nikki Javala of the Washington Post, and Nikki asked Dan Quinn about how Terry's absence affects the offense in terms of how they designed the practice today and the rapport that they are trying to develop.
Good news is lots of rapport has been built. And so those are all the times and, you know, hours and hours upon doing that. Hey, sometimes football and business, they intersect. And this is one of those times. Terry is a fantastic teammate and really puts in the work and spent a lot of time with him already this offseason. So, but let's, you know, the business side of things, you know, Adam and their crew and Terry and his group, they'll let them work through that. But in the meantime, you know, lots of stuff to do. And we try to customize as much as we can, Nikki, who can do what, who's in rehab, who can do some things, who can do everything, who needs to see more during this time of year, and who do we need to see less. And so this is one of those times you're really able to customize the script and the work to do that.
I appreciated that perspective from Quinn, because let's say McLaurin is, you know, recovering from a surgery and he's not participating in training camp or a mini camp. The tenor of that has a very different, or the tenor of that is a very different conversation, or that conversation has a different tenor. It's probably the best way to say that. There's not the angst. There's not the intensity. There's not the dramatic feeling. But ultimately, it's kind of a similar result. In fact, that would be worse long term, because the second Terry gets in here in July, assuming that the contract gets done over the next month and a half, like, he's going to hit the ground running. He's fine. There's no reacclimation period in terms of his conditioning, whatever. He's working out on his own, certainly. There's not like, hey, is this foot or ankle or a calf or a shoulder or whatever, you know, was causing him to be out. There's none of that that has to happen. So the idea that, like, a guy is missing time is not unheard of, and you have to plan for it and plan around it. And in that way, for the football staff, it is completely indifferent from any, like, the reasoning why a guy is out doesn't particularly matter. That said, we understand the consternation that is happening because this deal isn't done, because it is contractual, the animosity that can bring between player and team, and also fans and team, as a lot of fans are on Terry's side of this, because that's their guy, that's their favorite player, and they want to see him here. And we don't know enough about the negotiations to really have strong takes on who may or not be wrong. They just know their guy isn't here, and that's got to be the team's fault, because clearly Terry should get what he wants. And that puts the football coach who's trying to build camaraderie, build a team, and ultimately practice and build a rapport and a skill set amongst all these guys to win games in the fall, difficult. So how has Dan Quinn over the years learned to develop or learned to handle these situations? Has he learned to handle them over the years? Quinn, earlier today.
Yeah, I think it's why, we all have, people that can help on that side. So I can have the relationship as the coach and the ball player and the man. And so, just keep cool head about it and, keep communication up, which, Terry and I certainly do. So I think the main thing, expect the expected. Sometimes the business and football can get contentious and difficult, but it never has to be with the people that are inside the locker room and doing that. And so I've learned that, through the years, and easy advice to follow.
It's easier said than done, though. And this is the thing that I will say. On one hand, it's not as hard as it feels from the outside, because this is normal in the NFL. There's always a guy seemingly every year, if not multiple guys, that are having contract issues. I mean, shoot, the Bengals drafted Shamar Stewart to potentially a long-term replace Trey Hendrickson, and Stewart is not getting the language he wants in his rookie contract, and he's holding out along with Hendrickson in Cincinnati. So it could be a lot worse. But at the same token, the feeling, so while it's more normalized, the feelings don't go away. And so whether there's hard feelings in the long term between Terry and the organization, and if that extends to Dan Quinn, or just being in the building, is a TBD. And a lot of that TBD is dependent on how successful you are. This is kind of my one remaining question with Quinn, because of how good they were last year. To be clear, I think Dan's an excellent coach. I think he's an excellent leader. If I had to bet on Dan Quinn or against Dan Quinn, I would bet on him. But a lot of the stuff that he has been selling is easier to buy when you're good and you're winning. And they did have the 3-game losing streak last year, and it did not get out of hand, and he deserves a ton of credit for that. But how Dan Quinn handles adversity in a larger sense outside of the confines of a game where they had to come back and fight some adversity in football last year, that we still haven't seen yet in Washington with him as a head coach. And I think this could potentially fall into that category. And that's the kind of thing gets exacerbated if you've had one of your star players, for instance, holding out. If they have a tough season or Terry's not getting the ball or whatever, does this flare up at all? Probably not, because Dan is who Dan is and Terry is who Terry is. But that is something that, you would maybe pin for some other teams. And in that way, I guess Commanders fans can be grateful that we're talking about Terry McLaurin here and we're talking about Dan Quinn, who is in charge. Last but not least, on McLaurin, as for what he actually brings to the receiver room, what are the Commanders missing right now? What is it that Quinn is hoping to get from McLaurin, not just for him, but in terms of what other guys in that room are missing out on with his absence that he hopes to get in training camp and whenever Terry gets this contract thing figured out?
Well, for a long time, it's really, really high standards, of what a professional can be. I can think back to one of the things he was working on last training camp, and I remember standing with Adam. He was working on low catches, so they were either stationary or running catches that were below the knee, and that type of specific throws after practice that were down towards his feet. That's a pro's pro, where he was finding the smallest of detail to get better at, not the catch that's right here. And he's already exceptional at tracking the deep ball and looking over his shoulder. So I love when people are finding a specific thing. I want to work on that thing to get better at it. I think Terry, that was a clear demonstration of that. It may sound like a small thing, but that's really, finding the edge to say, what can I, work on?
And that's why you want that guy here as soon as possible. But it's got to be, obviously Adam's got to get the deal that he thinks is right for his side, the organization side. And that deal is different at this point from what Terry's side wants, because otherwise this thing would be done. All right, on to the next.
Number two.
From the guys that the guy that isn't here to the guys that did ultimately show up for the mandatory minicamp: Marshon Lattimore, Laremy Tunsil, Dan Quinn, on what he expects from those two over the next 2 days.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, a little bit customized, John, who will do what, how much we'll get. So, and it'll kind of depend on the day as well, what we want to feature and where we're at. But, yeah, they're both doing good and pumped they're here and getting rolling with us. So, they're really, I've enjoyed, you know, like spending time with them here, like for Marchand, when it's traded, it's in season, it's already intense. And so it's in a different atmosphere. You get to have some good conversations. And same with Laramie from the trade, they get him here. I got a chance to meet, you know, his family, you know, when he arrived here. And so not every time you get to do that. So, you know, I took that time to spend time with, you know, his son and his family. Like, that was a good deal for me to get a chance to spend time with him. I got to know his why maybe before he even got here and got into the locker room.
And watching those two guys today, you saw, I mean, Lattimore, you didn't see a lot, frankly. He was out there for a little bit. I spent a little more time in the individual period watching some of the O-line stuff. Tunsil actually was out for a lot of that. You know, as Dan mentioned, you're only participating so much, depending on who you are, where you are in your career, where you are in your fitness, all those kinds of things. And with those guys not having been here, some of it's as simple as, like, I don't know this drill. I'm learning by watching, and then maybe I'll do it tomorrow. And they've all made those decisions and together collectively on what's best for the player and what's best for the team. But I think having watched Tunsil go through the select amount of drills that he did, just watching the dude warm up, you're like, oh, he moves different than the rest of this O-lineman. All due respect to those dudes, but, like, he is light on his feet. He's super solidly built. Like, there's just so much to like about Laramie Tunsil, which is why he is who he is in terms of one of the best left tackles in the entire league, and it'll be fun to watch him get into team drills. Obviously, when we get into training camp, we'll see if he does any of the teamwork tomorrow. Lattimore was limited throughout the day in terms of the number of reps, but participated in a bunch of different stuff, including the 11-on-11 team drills. Had a couple, you know, reps that I would say nondescript. I don't want to comment, not because, like, there's not anything to say. I mean, I don't want to comment because there's not really anything to say. It's hard to judge these types of things, you know, who might have messed up a coverage or is exactly what they want to give up. But he seemed to be moving all right, and we'll see how he continues to play over the next 2 days of practice, and then ultimately, obviously, when we get into things in the fall. Last but not least, one more in the first half of our pick six. We take a quick break and come back for the second half.
Number three.
Brandon Coleman's been playing mostly at left guard, and it seems like there's a case of shifting timelines here, where it seems like the idea that Brandon Coleman was going to kick inside might have already been in the Commander's head before even, you know, or while Dan Quinn was saying, yeah, he'll start things at right tackle.
Yeah, really coming into it, because he had good versatility coming out of TCU, the move inside, he was ready to begin that process early. So it started prior to him even getting to the off-season program in his training, working on different sets to do that. So he's a rare guy because he's got the width and the bulk to play inside, but the athleticism to play outside. But he's really locked in on, you know, the techniques that it'll take. And so for the big guys, they don't get to fully express that until the training camp, just by the nature of their positions. But he's done an excellent job of getting the timing and the footwork and the sets in that he can.
So Coleman playing a ton of left guard today. Josh Connerly's out at right tackle. Andrew Wiley was working in at left tackle some. Just, you know, is he going to wind up being the swing tackle this year? Certainly a possibility. So he's getting some reps in there alongside Trent Scott with the ones, with Tunsil not participating in the team drills today. So that's something I think is going to be interesting to watch continuing moving forward. Is Wiley going to start moving inside to guard and competing for that right guard spot to back up slash play for Sam Cosmi while Cosmi is out? Or is he going to be exclusively a swing tackle that's working at both right and left in case Connerly's not ready and or Tunsil were to be hurt? So we will continue to talk about just what this minicamp means, and a name that hasn't been talked about a lot but should probably be mentioned along the edge for the Commanders next. But first, the latest from the world of women's sports presented to you by Wawa Chicken. How you want it? Wawa, with customizable roasted and crispy chicken sandwiches.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Dietrich Wise, Commanders defensive lineman, going to join us in just a few minutes. Well, actually, I talked to him coming off the practice field today, and we will let you hear that interview in just a few minutes. But right now is the back half of our Pick 6 at 6, where we give you the biggest Commander storylines of the day. Every day that there is, you know, a podium session or people talking or things happening, and we had all of that today. So without further ado, Anthony, if you could please.
Number four.
Number four today in our Pick 6 at 6 talks about what we saw, minicamp, and how Dan Quinn is handling it here in the year 2025. He's been in the NFL for almost 30 years at this point, and this time of year has changed quite a bit, as he reminisced on today.
And it's a lot different, and I think that's the change is good. You know, obviously we're doing it to help, you know, the players and go to it for as some of you may remember, like way back, the mandatory camp came right after the draft. Two practices, one. So it was five practices in a weekend. I don't know what load management or those kind of things would say about that nowadays, but it probably wouldn't be too favorable. But I do know that you want to isolate the skills, Ben, and see where we're at. And then the rookies have been here about 1 month. And so for them and for the players that are going into year two, what's the learning like? Have you applied, you know, what we've learned in this time together so you can really, you know, let it go once you get, you know, into training camp? And so, like, there'll be a natural break that'll come up, you know, 2 or 3 days from now. And there's almost like a 40 days before you get to training camp and having a real plan for what that looks like. But in this space, I always like to see the newest players and their acclimation, where they're at. And it kind of gives you a little test, a little barometer where they're at mentally and, you know, regarding the playbook and that. To do the whole factors physically, mentally, emotionally, like all the things you have to pour into it. But it's a good, I would say, just a good test. Where are you exactly with the knowledge of it all?
Quinn was asked by Sam Fortier, did he make any changes to camp this year? He said, nah, not really. You know, they've changed a little bit of which situations they're working this year. A little bit more of a third down emphasis versus some of the install work that they really wanted to focus on last year. So ultimately, Quinn wrapped up this section of the press conference asking and or being asked, answering what his goal was coming out of this week for his club.
Well, number one, like always, like the health of the team. You know, I love seeing the communication on all three phases, because if we can get that part right, I know the contact and those things will take place, but you have to have the communication down at a really, really strong level. And so I want to hear it. I want to feel that all the way through in all three phases, knowing that's kind of giving you information as the teacher that the student knows it. Oftentimes, we've all been in classroom where there was good teaching that went on, but we don't know if there was good learning. You know, those lecture halls that we were like for a long time, and then, okay, I don't know, I wrote some things down. I might have missed a half hour there somewhere. Like, when the communication happens on the field, you get feedback as a coach. This is happening. He understands that there's a good communication. So that's what I like to listen for.
I loved that part of that from Quinn, when you talk about, I mean, one is someone who coaches people in a fitness setting, when sometimes you're coaching and you're looking at the room and you're like, I don't know if everyone's got this, so I'm going to keep an eye on this person when they get over there, because they might not have been lost. Or those big giant lecture halls that we all had in college where you know, you're one of 150 students in a class. And I remember I had a philosophy professor, and this dude was what you would think of with a philosophy professor. And he's just up there yapping about whatever, what old dead guys thought. And not that philosophy is not important, and there isn't a thought to it, but this guy didn't particularly care whether good learning was happening. He was up there to talk. And so when, you know, and for him, like, he's a university professor. Fine. Who cares? Like, he's not going to be hired or fired. First of all, he's probably tenured, but he's probably not going to get fired or demoted or whatever by how his students do, because that's just not how that kind of class is set up. If you're Dan Quinn and you're teaching and you don't have effective learning happening, that means no one's going to know what they're doing, and that's going to show up on Sundays in the fall. So I appreciated that perspective from DQ and making sure that they are ready to go in the fall and even in training camp. Like, hey, let's make an adjustment when we teach this again in the summer or in the fall to make sure that we get this across, because they can make some mistakes now with plenty of time to correct it. Last 2 points here in our pick six at six. First,
number five,
the rookies, and then we'll get to the vets, and specifically one vet. But Quinn opened his press conference today talking about how excited he was for the rookies who have been here just a bit over a month now, and the second-year guys, even guys like Jaden Daniels and Mike Sanders still, who established themselves as good pros last year, in Jaden's case, an excellent pro, but are going to make big, giant leaps because hopefully they know things they didn't know last year and are ready to go in year two. So more specific to the rookies, though, what did Quinn take away, or what does Quinn want the rookies to take away from this minicamp?
I want them to know that the process that they're going through is normal, and I want them to fail successfully some, knowing that there's going to be mistakes, and this is the only way they know if this technique that we're teaching is going to work. If you don't do that, you're really shortchanging yourself, because the way, you know, Jason Simmons may, you know, teach a specific technique, may be new to them, and then all of a sudden it just clicks. And okay, but you do have to apply it and try it to go. And at the end of it, I think you need to show them belief. I think that is powerful when you're seeing them do it. I don't think it can be just blind, hey, you're going to be great, and then not showing all the work that has to go into it. But knowing that there's a process that all the people have gone through, and early they were guarded. I don't know what it's going to be like here. They'd heard, okay, the people will look after you, meaning the other players, to help you grow. And so I think that helped, knowing, like, one of the questions I ask is, who's made a big impact on you since you've been here? And so many times you hear it's this player, sometimes it might have been somebody they sat next to in the locker room, but not at the same position. And so it kind of gives me a little test too, to know who's already making an impact as they're going. So it is a question, you know, like during these meetings over the last few days. But it's a hard process for them. They're realizing all of the reps matter. They don't get a lot of them. So when I can deliver, I'll get some more. So it's like step by step as it's going.
I just love when Dan Quinn gets in a teacher mode, as you guys probably heard when I was talking about the last answer he gave. But the idea of failing successfully is so good, especially for young players, to know, like, man, the way that you're going to figure this out is by giving it a God's honest shot. If you don't put forth the effort, even if you fail, like, it doesn't matter. If you don't put forth the effort, you're going to fail. You have to try and get caught trying, and then we'll make our correction. Get successful. And so I love that security net where guys know, hey, give it the shot, make the mistake. The process is more important, because in the long term, doing it our way is going to be more successful than figuring out, you know, with proverbial duct tape in the meantime. And duct tape's great and all, but it's not how you want to hold together your career over the long term. All right, last but not least in the pick six, a vet that has not gotten probably enough mention because he's a unique player on this roster.
Number one, he's got a lot of experience. That's
first of all, Anthony, number six is what we're looking for there. Yeah, that we needed the number, and then I'll tell people who the.
I thought you bypassed the number.
The players. What was that?
I said I thought you bypassed the number.
No, Anthony, you bypassed the number there.
Yeah.
The player. So here, hold on. We're gonna try this one more time. We're gonna rewind. And Anthony, if you could, one player who hasn't gotten enough shine.
Number six.
Jacob Martin. Martin is an edge, played for Purdue in college. He's been in the league for a couple years. He actually played with Logan in Houston. Kind of a pass rush specialist and body type. Hasn't been as successful in that in the pros as obviously he would like. He's bounced around a little bit. But he is a guy that has some, you know, pretty high-end traits. He's super quick. He's a very thoughtful person when it comes to, you know, playing that position. And is guys like Dedrick Wise, who we'll talk to next, and Daron Payne and Javon Kinlaw, and all these guys are super versatile on the inside, outside, you know, bigger body types. Can Martin get things going on third down, especially if he's just in a pass rush specialist role and doesn't have to do any of the other stuff? Dan Quinn asked about Jacob Martin today.
Number one, he's got a lot of experience. That's an outside backer, and, you know, being on the edge, we'll feature more into that. He's got a good special teams background as well, but yeah, we'll feature him on the edge and outside linebacker kind of roles. And then on teams, I really think it's probably three or four out of the, you know, the core. And he's off to a good start here. I really enjoyed connecting with him, Dedrick, Jonathan Jones, JK, to name just a few, of getting to know them and who they are. And so that's been an important part for me through this offseason.
Martin's a guy that I'm super interested to watch develop. And as Dan Quinn said, he's got a leg up on special teams, all of these guys, because of the pure speed that he has to be able to run down and cover kicks and all those kinds of things. So he's a guy that's going to be interesting to watch when they get the pads on in July. All right, when we get back here on the Hoffman Show, one of his line mates, Dedrick Wise, the veteran, ninth year in the league. He was the last one off the practice field today. Why? That's where we started our chat, and you'll hear it next on the Team 980.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.